Isn't that a great story? I love that story. Thank you for doing such a great job. I'll let you go down if you'd like to, or you can just sit down, whatever you choose to do, Tim. Have you ever gone to a carnival? And where you go in and they have this house of mirrors, you know? You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, when I was in Minnesota recently, I went into this toy store, and they had a couple of mirrors, all right? So I walk in front of the first one, and you look at yourself, and this is the one that every woman hates. You are I was short, and I was about this wide, right? I thought, I'm not going to look at that one very long. So then I went to the next one. Oh, the next one I loved. I'll tell you. And you know why I loved it? I was tall. I was a giant tall, and I was thin, right? So I thought I should take that one home. Now, you know, when I was looking in the mirror, did it really change my size? No, it didn't. It was just making things appear to be a whole lot bigger than they were, right? That's what I think we have to remember when we're thinking about those giants in our lives, you know? Problems in our lives where we start focusing on the problem, and then they get bigger. And the more we worry about our problems, the bigger they get, don't they? All of a sudden, we feel small, and how big does a problem look? Goliath size, right? You know, so just like Goliath, we start worrying about our problems, and then we fear it, and we think, I can never overtake these. And we all have these problems. One that comes to my mind is like medical problems. Have you ever gone and got a diagnosis, right? What's the first thing you do when you go home now? You Google it. You go and you research it, and there you always find what? The worst. You don't want to hear it at all. So after you hear the worst, then what do? You call up your friends. What do you think about this? Well, the last one you call is your mother, because she knows she's going to be worried to death, right? But then you call your relatives, you talk to them. So all of a sudden, this little medical diagnosis that may be right, or it may be wrong, is just huge, right? I can hear somebody saying, well, you know what happened to Aunt Susie when she had that diagnosis, right? So what would have happened, though, if instead of taking time to focus on the medical problem, we had taken the time instead to focus on God and being thankful to God? What about instead of magnifying the medical problem, we magnified God? Because I believe, I hope you believe me, God can do things we humans could never do, right? On paper, it might look like you're never going to get out of debt till you're 150 years old. For me, it's 75. And if you look at the numbers, and the more you run the numbers, sometimes the worse it gets, right? The more you think you can't get out of them, you want to give up. So instead of considering the circumstances, so what about if you would consider God and what God could do for you? You know, if God spoke the world into existence, if God split the Red Sea, you know, if God stopped the sun and moon, we studied about that a little while ago from Joshua, right? If God could turn water into wine, what can God not do for you? And I think that's our lesson today. Psalm 68 says, let God arise and your enemies will be scattered. Because when you make God bigger in your life, and when you focus on God, it makes your problems seem extremely small. And when you let God arise in your life, it tells us our enemies will be scattered, right? Enemies of depression, enemies of financial problems, enemies of problems in a marriage, enemies of shadows in our lives that we don't want anybody to know about, enemies of our business or what's going on there, enemies of our relationships. I've found out in my life that if you talk defeat, guess what you get? You get defeat. If you magnify the giants in your life, what will you get? Defeat. They're going to defeat you. But if you magnify your God, if you magnify your God like David did today, what we're going to talk about, right? Is anything too difficult for God? Has that been your experience in your life? It hasn't been mine. I have found out that I have a big God. And when I trust and I believe deeply, God is there for me. God's mightier than any problem that you might ever want to think about. And that's what David did, you know. Did you notice in the reading, I'm sure you did this because you had it memorized before they started, did David ever recognize that Goliath was a giant? He never even recognized it, did he? He called, what did he call him? Yeah, he called him that pagan Philistine, right? Whatever that's supposed to mean, right? He didn't give him credit for being big. He didn't deny it, right? He knew how big he was. But you know what? He wasn't going to dwell on it, you know? David didn't focus on his problem, this big Goliath that he had to conquer. Who did he focus on? God. He focused on what God was like. Now, David's brothers, they kind of noticed the size, right? They went to him and said, look, you're just a kid. You don't have a chance in the world. What are you doing? Go back. Go back to being a shepherd. No chance you're going to win. But David had a different perspective than anybody else in that whole story, didn't he? He knew that if God was for him, then he was probably going to win. In fact, he said that. He was so strong in the Lord, he knew he wasn't going to be alone when he went into that battle. Because he was so strong in his faith, he knew that the Lord was going to rule. He tried, you know, everybody else tried to stop him, right? But David was what? Strong in his faith. And he told Goliath, this is what he says, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the Lord God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord's going to conquer you, and I'll cut your head off. Well, that was the extra part for him, I'm sure. This is whose battle? Was it David's battle? No, it was the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. That teenage boy by himself, did he have a chance of even winning this battle? No. But who did David magnify? Did he magnify the problem, the size of Goliath, or did he magnify God? Guys, you guys are so lively out there. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He says, do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. You know, you might be up against a big giant. It might be sickness. It might be needing a transplant, right? Could be doing that. It could be debt. It could be an addiction that you have to whatever it might be. And then in Ephesians, he says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the enemy. The kind of obstacles we face in life are not nearly as insurmountable as we think. They're not as overwhelming. They're not as depressing as they appear at first glance. Because if you look real close at the story, there's a lesson in it for us, and that is your giants can be slain by God. Because I believe that God puts a dream in our heart early on, a dream of what you're going to accomplish, a dream of the kind of person that you're going to be. We call that a purpose in our life, right? Something that you want to be. And I think God not only gives you that promise, but he also promises that God will help you fulfill that dream that you have in your heart. Now, when you're going after this dream, it's highly unlikely that you're going to face someone as big as Goliath. Okay, military people, maybe. You never know. That might be it for you, right? But you're going to have a whole lot of other giants, I believe. At least it's been my experience that you run into in life. You know, when you run into these giants of what? Financial problems, relationship problems, marriage problems, kid problems. Some of us, grandkid problems, right? Work problems, problems that keep you from going after your dream. When you read this chapter, in fact, if you read the chapters before, you'd find this isn't the first giant that David had to come up against. Now, maybe this was the physical giant, but David had some other giants that I think every one of us run into when it comes to accomplishing our dream, and I want to talk about those really quickly. You see, David had a dream of being king of Israel. If you hadn't read the chapter before, you'd know he already got ordained to be the king. He wanted to be the king his entire life, right? But in reality, David has to wait years and years and years before he ever sits on the throne, you know. So big giant number one, at least for most people experience, is delay. You want to achieve your dream, but you just can't seem to get there. And I found out that no dream is fulfilled instantly. Even though we want it to be fulfilled instantly, God might give it to us, but God doesn't give us the answer to that dream the next day. For most of us, it's years later. I think about Abraham and Sarah, you know. We can think of a lot. Even Jesus, 33 years, right, before he went into ministry. Make sure you come back in January so we can talk about that. You know, other so that. The second one that we run into I want to talk about is, you know, sometimes it's people that just want to discourage you. How many people were discouraging him in that particular passage, right? Everybody, right? Did anybody think that David could do it? Is there one voice in there that says, you can do it, Jeremy, you know, or says, you can do it, John, or you can do it, Barbara? There's not one voice in there that anyone said you can do it. That's that giant of discouragement. Anybody ever run into that one? You want to achieve that dream, and everybody walks up to you and says, forget it, you can't do it. Discouragement. You're going to have a giant of discouragement come at you when you want that dream accomplished, right? They're going to be saying, can't be done, forget it, right? But you've got to remember that when God puts this in your heart, you're not doing it alone, are you? Is God saying you can't do it? Is God discouraging you to do it? Of course not. God says, if you've got that dream, I gave it to you. And you can't accomplish it, right? But even if you get past discouragement, I have found there's another giant. That's disapproval. People don't want you to do it. They think you're crazy for doing it, right? It says, you know, you have this voice in you, yeah, you can do it, and then you say, forget it. You don't have the right education. You don't have the right money. You know, you're the wrong sex. Whatever it might be, people, they don't approve of you. They don't want you to do it. I've never understood that. And I think they're trying to be good for you, right? To tell you to be careful. The main reason people don't go after their dreams is they are afraid that other people won't approve it. Because, you know, we all want to be accepted. And if we go after this God dream that looks like nobody in their right mind would ever do this, nobody would ever be able to accomplish it, you know, how easy is it for that person to take that disapproval and never go after that dream? Never go work with homeless children or people that are sick, you know, in Calcutta or whatever it might be, or ever have a dream about civil rights for people. How many people do you think discouraged and disapproved of what Martin Luther King was doing? Another big giant that we run into. And the last one I think we run into is self-doubt. You know, we might get through delay. We might get through discouragement. We might get through disapproval. But then that self-doubt starts coming in, doesn't it? Have anybody ever had that happen? Where you start thinking, I can't do it anyway. I might as well give up. I wonder how many dreams that God has given people haven't come to pass because we had such doubt, such self-doubt, such lack of trust in God that we weren't part of a miracle. When you have self-doubt, the question to say is, well, what about God? Does God think I can do this or not? And one of the good clues I think is if I kind of doubt that I can do it, it's because God knows God needs to go with me to do it. Not self-doubt that I'm never going to do it, but to know that God is there, is going to see me through this, you know? David says, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to fight this Philistine. God's with me. I trust in God. Talk about faith. I mean, Saul had all his years of experience fighting in battle, right? Saul has seen all the things God has seen in his life, and Saul still said, you can't do it, right? He says, there's no way you're going to win, David. Forget it. Go put it on. But David said, yes, I will, because my God is a big God, and God is with me. So I think there's a couple of things that we need to remember. When we run into our dream busters, when we run into those giants in our lives that we think are magnified so large, we will never overcome in. The first one is to remember, how did God help you in the past? Has there been a time that God has helped you get through a situation that you just knew you would never get through? Anybody? God help you through one of those situations? Of course. And if God has helped you in the past in little ways, if you're going to accomplish that huge dream, God is going to help you in big ways. Because whose dream is it for you to do that? It's God's dream, right? That God put in your heart. The second thing is you have to use the tools that you've been given. What did David use? Yeah, he used the stones, right? He had a slingshot to carry. You can't wait for something that you don't have. You know, when people tell you, that when you think to yourself, I don't have the education, I don't have the money, I got to wait till my kids are grown, I'm too old, what you need to stop and say, what do I have now that I can move forward on this dream that God has placed in my heart, right? David took 5 smooth stones. What gifts has God already given you that you can go on like that? Because God can take your gifts and can multiply them and bring people in your life that can make that dream be accomplished even though you thought you didn't have what it takes. The next one is to ignore those dream busters. You know, David takes on this giant even though everybody said, you can't do it. He wasn't encouraged from anybody. Nobody said, let me go with you. Did you see that? No one. Not one person wanted to go into battle with him. And so you have to remember that you might not get encouragement either. Dad, mom, friends, even people at church, who knows, will tell you, you can't do it. But 1 Samuel, this is what David said. When others were speaking against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You have to go to the Lord. If you're going after your dream, you need to spend that time with God. Because if God is with you, who can be against you, right? That's different from positive mental attitude. You can have a positive mental attitude and not accomplish it. It's different than having God there with you and putting all your faith, putting all your trust in a God who can perform miracles. So I got to thinking about, what giants do you have in your life now? Are they financial? Are they relationship? Are they addiction? Are they problems? Children, they might seem indefeatable to you. But God is saying, David is saying today, that there is nothing in your life that God can't overcome. You know, for God, it's a small thing. If God can do these, create a universe, cannot God walk you through your problems and into your dreams? Like David, tell your giants that today, this day, I'm magnifying the God. God, I'm not magnifying in the carnival glass where my problems look huge. I'm not magnifying my God. You focus on the problem. You focus not on the problem. I'm sorry, you focus on your God, and God will help you defeat the giants in your life. You know, while the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask that you be willing to pray with me today. Dear God, thank you for never giving up on me. You have helped me so many times in the past get through things I thought were impossible. This gives me faith that you will help me in the future. When the giants in my life seem to overwhelm me, when others discourage me, disapprove of, or misunderstand me, help me to use the tools that you've given me, my slingshot and stones and my deep faith. I'm tired, Lord, because I've been trying to the battles all by myself. Lead it.
This day I choose you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and make your home, for I know that though you, my giants, will fall, and my dreams you placed in my heart will come true, because you lead me, and I know that I am not alone. Amen.